The University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, it's Daniel Maxwell.
It's good to be here.
Good to be here. Absolutely. Again, we just survived the first week of the semester. It was really a humdinger, to be putting it lightly, and I don't know, something about surviving.
It was a really chill week for me, actually. It was the total opposite, because I'm teaching the exact same classes as I did last semester.
Good for you.
My email inbox is zero.
Oh my gosh. That's just mean.
It is very mean, but it's a good way to go into the weekend. And I figured out how to make my email inbox pink and purple today. So everything is pink and purple. It is beautiful.
It's your Taylor Swift mailbox?
It is, honestly. Yes. I had a Taylor Swift Christmas tree, which is now gone.
By the way, they haven't seen.
They have not seen.
Nobody has seen those yet.
It is our secret thing. It's fine.
Well.
Yes. Danielle and I, we've been going back and forth over the break with the new Ask the Professor.
Yes. We were very creative.
Yes.
Okay, well,
but I can't show anything because Michael's got to launch the autograph, photograph, the photograph, autograph.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll so let's start just say I've taken that image and had some liberties with it, right?
It's been very fun. It's been very fun.
So we're expecting something really interesting in the middle of 2025 is what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Oh, and wait a minute. No, we'll talk later. There's other Easter eggs I've been throwing out there then.
All right, all right.
Yes.
Well, another vision in purple. Professor Aaron Bell is here.
That was very eloquent. I love chemists who are also poets.
Vision in purple.
A plus.
Well, it's a bold color to stand up against the starkness. We had two faculty members in our main office this morning talking about how the snow was coming. Oh. And one of them was like, oh, it's so bad for driving or whatever. And the other one turned their head, looked out the window, brown grass. And then they left. It's like,
well, Aaron's in almost aubergine.
Oh, aubergine. Yeah, oh, where is our Anglophile now? But yeah, I also did a little traveling like Professor Tubbs over the break. And it was so sad. Like, as soon as I got out of Florida, right, even in Georgia, the clouds started and the gray. And then once we got back to Michigan, it was like a cloudy fog of just dismal gray. And to quote the great white stripes, dead leaves in the dirty brown ground, you know, that person was right.
No, that's it right there. So we're nice for the pop of color on an otherwise unfortunate winter's day, right?
Pure Michigan.
Purely, pure yes. Michigan.
We have the most grays in the entire nation.
Yes, we do. As in Professor Dave Chow, like counting the colors?
No, we always joke that we've got the most grays ever, that's all.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know, like being downtown, like when we're in the shadow of the incinerator, we had plenty of gray. Plenty of gray. Lots and lots of gray. So.
That's right. Well, I just figured anybody who would know gradations of color, it would be you.
So. No, just miserable
gradations of gray.
Yes. There was talk, if you remember, a relatively well-received cop drama series called Low Winter Sun. It was about the city of Detroit, Detroit police, that they couldn't handle the fact that when they were here recording that it was just gray every single day. They're like, no, this is the way
it is. Even though that was the plot of the show.
Yeah, right. Literally the title.
This is not going to play
well. How about No Winter Sun?
Exactly. Jim Tubbs is here with us today.
Yes.
Yes. And you drove down to North Carolina. There must have been some sun down there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was plenty.
That's good. That's good. Very temperate temperature down there, too.
Well, it was until about the time I left. It was beginning to turn cold then. But other than that, I had taken clothes that were warmer than I needed.
Right. And when you say cold in North Carolina, I'm assuming you're referring to the 60s.
50s.
No, actually, North Carolina gets a lot. I mean, they're in the 20s now.
Oh, okay.
But they, I would say 30s, you know, we did get down close to freezing.
Oh, wow. All right.
But not real close.
It Celsius.
Wow, that's hot. That's hot.
It wasn't bad at all.
Nice, nice. Dan Maggio, you said you were up north for part of the holiday, so is this back to Traverse City?
Yeah, it was cloudy the entire time.
The entire time.
I think one day, for a minute, there was a spot in the sky where the sun started to kind of come through, and that was it.
And that was it. Professor Jeff Boats is also here. Please tell us more about your book coming out soon.
I guess by the time this airs, it's out. So yeah, that's great. It's doing great. It's on the bestsellers list in 38 countries.
New York Times, number one.
How about how can we find it? I mean, we can Google you, but is there an easier way to...
Yeah, it's available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and about 30 other book sites, some of which I've never even heard of because they're in foreign countries. It's just all over the place.
Okay. But, very cool.
But if you order it from my website, I'll sign it and what do you call it?
Leave a pint of blood?
Whatever.
You smear some, you know.
I'll sign it and personalize it. How really?
What's your website?
Jeff.boats. It's a funny thing. It's like when they were inventing the internet, they came up with this list of things that websites could end in, .com, .edu, .whatever. Yeah, and one of them is .boats. Because I guess they thought people would register their boats or something.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So my website is Jeff.boats. Jeff with a goofy extra E, like, you know.
Extra E, that's right. That's awesome. Man, that's easy to remember.
Yeah.
That's easier than Amazon. That's what I think. Very, very cool. Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okay. Dear Matt and profs, I'm glad you found my recent small batch, recent, of Halloween questions useful. Recent. But it's back to business and coming up with a hodgepodge and variety that you've grown accustomed to from our family. Below are 20 questions that we've culled from our daily travels. We hope they meet with your approval, as well as providing an adequate challenge to the learned panel.
Learned.
Warmest greetings from, Valencia, California.
Valencia, California.
He's real warm now.
Yeah, hope all is well.
Geez, I hope everybody's safe.
Thank you, Frank.
Whose backing band was nicknamed the Tennessee Three?
The Tennessee Three?
Was a Bob country Dylan? Performer. No. It wasn't Bob Dylan.
Tennessee.
Dolly Parton.
Mm-mm. Good guess.
Willie country Nelson. Western.
That wasn't Willie Nelson. Wasn't Willie Nelson.
Johnny Cash?
It was Johnny Cash.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Right on. I should know that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I love Johnny Cash.
Are you a Johnny Cash fan?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to Johnny
Cash. The Man in Black. Oh, so.
That's right.
I love him.
Which British territory has a capital named Port Stanley?
It's one of the Isles. And
is it Falkland Islands?
Yeah.
Falklands. First gen actress Candice Bergen and songwriter Paul Williams auditioned but were rejected from this very exclusive group in the first iteration of it.
Oh, like an SNL or SCTV kind of thing?
A little further back. More recently, you would have seen people like Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears.
Oh, Disney.
Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, wow. Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah. Candice Bergen, Mickey Mouse.
Wow, she was rejected.
Well, her father, you know, was a ventriloquist, so she was in showbiz early.
Mm-hmm. So the dummy beat her out?
Oh. No. Well, maybe so. Maybe so.
Charlie McCarthy.
But it wasn't at Disney. Oh. It wasn't in Mickey Mouse Club either.
In its first iteration, this cereal featured the tagline, "I want to eat your cereal."
Franken.
No. Count Chocula.
Yeah. Like Franken Chocula.
What is Sylvester Stallone's middle name? I mean, that's a question right there. Wow. It's very Italian sounding. That's your hint.
Rocco.
Vincent.
Leonardo.
Vincenzo.
Lorenzo.
Alberto.
No. These are all good guesses. If Professor Hill were here and it was a few more weeks into the year, we might ask her how her blank is doing outside of her house.
Flowers?
I mean, yeah, her garden. It's Gardenzio is his middle
Gardenzio.
Name.
Gardenzio. How floral.
Yes.
Gardenzio?
For a very short period of time, this very, very famous channel was referred to as C3. That was its first name.
Like MTV or something?
Still exists to this day, in as much as something can.
C3.
Very Generation X. Lots of Canadian programming.
CBC?
Oh.
Much music?
Lots of
Canadian cable. Program.
Still on TV
CBC,
today?
CCTV?
I could bring the Zoomer right up to the table by saying SpongeBob and you'll say...
Oh, Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon.
I never would have known that.
Mm-hmm. What was the last year that Ellis Island processed immigrants who arrived at the United
1954?
States?
1954.
Oh, wow.
Mind-blowing, Jim. 1954 on the dot. Yes, that is correct. Mind-blowing.
71 years ago.
A certain fairly well-known Michigan city has Peterborough, Ontario, Dakar, Senegal, and Remedios, Cuba for its sister cities. What Michigan city?
Flint.
Not Flint.
Saginaw.
It's Peterborough where they
Pontiac.
Slapshot.
Not Pontiac.
Yeah, Peterborough has a hockey history to it.
Yeah, Peterborough Pete's.
Kalamazoo.
Hamtramck.
The largest city near to where you live is...
Sterling Heights, Warren, McComb.
Near where you live. Where
oh,
you live.
Where I live right now. Saline. Ypsilanti. What's Jackson. North of me? Northland?
It's Ann Arbor. It's Ann Arbor.
Oh, that's where I live.
But you said to near where she lives.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you live in Ypsilanti, don't
no,
you?
No, I live in Ann Arbor.
Oh,
I
thought oh no, no wonder. Oh, red herring, red herring.
I live across the street from Ypsilanti, but I'm oh, technically okay. in Ann Arbor.
Okay. Oh, you're across the street from Ypsilanti. Okay. So you live in the greater metropolitan Ypsilanti area.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, is that like Pleasant Ridge and Peasant Ridge?
Which Star Trek original series Star Trek actor was part of an all-girl band in the classic comedy Some Like It Hot? That's a good piece of trivia.
Janice?
Whitney?
The captain's...
Yeoman Rand?
Yep.
Yeah, Grace Lee Whitney.
Grace Lee Whitney was her name.
What was her name? Yes, Janice.
Janice Rand.
Yeoman Janice Rand. You all had the different pieces.
Okay.
You put it all together.
I'm not a TOS person.
The one with the weave,
big yellow hair.
She had the wee wig.
Yeah.
Yep. Huh. Oh my! Can you even get one word from the five-term name that is the top-selling beer of Australia? Even one of the five words that describes
Foster
this.
Lager?
It's not Foster's.
I'm giving it to you because you said lager. It is Great Northern Super Crisp Lager, like we've ever heard
Foster's
of
Foster's you cannot even find there anymore.
What northern part of Australia story. Are they talking about?
Because?
They just don't.
That is wild.
Nobody there drinks it, so they don't make it anymore.
Oh. Oh my God. I can see why.
I even took my Foster's cap with me when I went to Australia, and it was like an antique.
And, did somebody give you an offer?
No.
Okay. Ooh, this is really good. I feel like we have this every X number of years, just enough for us to remember. There are three cities in the United States of America that have NFL, NHL, and MLB franchises, but no NBA team. Whenever Jason's here, we always get the first one. Pittsburgh is the first.
Okay.
NBA team.
So only have football, hockey, and baseball, but no basketball.
Miami?
No,
the
Miami
Florida
has,
Panthers play there.
Miami's got the Heat.
It's not Dallas.
Oh, that's right.
It's not Dallas. Nope.
One of the New Jersey teams? No.
Columbus?
Cincinnati?
No.
The next one I'm trying to help you with had an NBA team that folded
Cleveland?
In the 80s, 90s.
New Orleans?
Mm-mm.
No.
Oklahoma City?
No. Nashville.
Atlanta.
Nashville.
They have hockey.
It's hard.
Baseball.
New Orleans? No.
New Orleans has got it covered.
So many things.
Midwest?
That was a good guess.
Or coastal?
If only Beth or
Portland?
Heather were here.
Portland?
Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Now, what was the name of the Seattle basketball franchise that played at the Kingdom?
Supersonics. The Stupid Sonics.
And yes, the last one is very much almost as far away in the United States of America as you can get from Seattle.
So, San Florida. Diego?
Tallahassee?
Deep South Florida, which is...
Miami?
Tampa Bay?
Tampa. Yes. Okay. Tampa Bay does not have a basketball team. It's kind of an interesting twist.
Who knows if they have a baseball team with no stadium?
Where are the Rays playing this season is a very good question. That's wild.
Did you see Detroit Mercy has an alumni event at the Detroit Tigers spring training in Florida? I think we should go.
I'm going to have
to
cancel class for
remote
that.
Show.
I'm going to have to cancel class for that 100%.
No thanks.
What
I'll dial in.
What role has been portrayed by the following actors? Peter Sellers, Morgan Freeman, Bill Pullman, Harrison Ford.
President?
The President of the United States. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Sellers?
Gentlemen, you can't argue in here. This is a war room.
That's right. Dr. Strangelove.
That was Dr. Strangelove. Morgan Freeman was Deep Impact. Bill Pullman, Independence Day.
Yep.
And Harrison Ford.
Air Force One.
Air Force One.
Get off my plane.
What?
What very
Han Solo
famous
said that?
Building has the address 2001 15th Street?
In
not the White House,
Detroit, Michigan.
Oh,
2001?
15th Street.
What fake? Wait, what was the question?
What Motown very famous
Museum?
Building
no.
is okay. at 2001 15th Street?
The train station.
It's Michigan Central.
Oh. I was gonna say that, but I was like, Michigan is.
No, I'm kept on working my way from Woodward Avenue across. Okay, second.
I was a highlight of my 2024 was doing, we're very, very lucky to get some of the spots and do the tour on the first day. Mm-hmm. To me, it was really moving to see a lot of people moved by having never been in there before, mm-hmm. me, versus having been in there many, many moons ago. So it's kind of fun.
So you've never been in there prior to the okay.
And I never even broke into it, which was pretty big for my generation. Dave is rolling his eyes.
I'm not saying nothing. All those pictures, they were never developed. So.
No.
Cool, edgy 90s photos. Were they in black and white?
Yes. We had a professor take students up to the roof.
Sure you did. Sure you did.
Sounds legal.
In another time.
Only if you got caught.
Extra legal is the term.
Paralegal.
In the 1940 Disney feature Pinocchio, the con men Honest John and Gideon convince Pinocchio to skip school to do something very specific. What was it?
Not the strip club again. Oh,
no.
They smoke cigars. They go to that club and play pool.
They do all that stuff, but they're trying to get him to become something. And I don't mean turn into a donkey, because that's the moral of the story. They're trying to get him to do something just right out. You don't remember this, huh?
No.
Never seen
that's weird. I watched that movie for 2 months straight when I was pregnant with one of my kids, because I'd be like, okay, mommy needs a nap.
I think I watched it once when I was five.
Yeah.
I've seen it a lot.
Wasn't gambling or anything like that, was it?
No. It was, there's no other way to do this, so I have to just be out with it. It was something that they viewed as being a vice. It's a moral tale, right? It was a book before it was a movie from the 20s and 30s.
So what's a vice in
lying?
They were trying to turn Pinocchio into an artist.
Oh, please. That's horrible.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's
so
horrid.
Sorry, Dave.
Boy, that would have taken us all day long.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's those a horrible artists. Vice. I'll admit it.
Jiminy Cricket at his side. Don't do it.
Where was my Jiminy Cricket when
don't
I needed him?
Be an artist.
Pencil away, Dave.
Let your conscience be your guide.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to lie like a rug.
Those degenerate artsy people.
Yeah, I know.
The world's largest McDonald's is over 19,000 square feet. Where is it located?
Japan.
It is not in Japan.
China.
It's in the United States.
Oh.
The United States?
Really? Its nickname is the Epic McD.
Oh,
Orlando?
It's Orlando.
I've been there. Yeah, it's like two floors and there's video games in the second floor. It's awesome. Oh, it is epic.
Why do you need that much square footage?
For video games. There's free video games in the second floor.
For the customers.
I'd go for that. I would go for that.
It's on International Drive.
I'd be like, you guys go do your thing. I'll be up here. Some Galaga and some Miss Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm. And possibly catch the Pinocchio rerun. There you go.
As an artist.
In ancient times, some northerly living Russian and Finnish communities would put live frogs into their fresh milk. Why would they do this?
Keep it from freezing.
Frogs died. It was because the milk was spoiled.
It's not freezing, and it's not spoiled or poisoning.
Is there something
pasteurization?
Is it the
chemically?
I'm giving it to Danielle. Basically, they secreted on their skin something that would stop the milk from spoiling. So they let it swim around for a while, took the frogs out, and then they would take a drink.
But that's like fascinating. How did they figure that out? You know? I mean, that's amazing to me.
Is that any different than the first person that tried an oyster? I mean, it's like, you try this, okay.
What about the first person that tried cow's milk? Like, whose great idea was that? Kids. Like, hey.
Hey, Dave, this part's really crunchy. I don't know.
I broke it too.
It's actually kind of interesting. I got into only like a 5-nanosecond battle with my students on the second day of class because we were, not too surprisingly, talking about drugs. And I'm like, most drugs are made out of, and the students couldn't complete the sentence. You know, I just wanted plants.
Okay.
I wanted
I'll say carbon.
And I go, also, don't think that you just have to pop a pill, because almost 100,000 years ago, people were tearing the bark off of things and chewing on it when they had a headache.
Or licking a frog or smoking a banana peel.
Exactly.
A fungi.
Yeah. They were not so happy to hear me tell the classic piece of chemistry, which is most red and pink dye in ice cream is the ground up bodies of bugs.
I do remember
and,
that.
Yeah, oh, so you can.
That has haunted me for years.
Cosmetics as well.
Every time
I'm going to go get some peppermint ice cream.
Ambergris all day long, right? Oh my gosh.
That's a good reference. There should be some questions about that.
Ambergris?
Yeah, for sure.
Ooh, we need a whole question like set.
Cetology.
Oh, God.
Professors, in what city is the Dr. Pepper Museum? I don't even know how we'd figure this one out, actually.
Is Dr. Pepper Coke? Is it Atlanta?
Frisco, Texas.
It's in Texas, but it's not Cisco. It's another...
It's Frisco, Texas.
Waco?
Oh, Frisco. Is that what it says?
Yeah, Hall of Fame Lane, Frisco, Texas.
It doesn't say Frisco, but if Frisco is near to this extremely negatively viewed Texas city, then we're good to go.
You're going to have to narrow it down.
David Koresh?
I was going to say, how much time do we have?
Dallas?
Waco?
Yes.
Waco.
Yeah, I said Waco.
Yeah, I thought
that's where the Magnolia
I swear we had that thing question is. Before. I'm having
it's
a deja vu.
HGTV.
The Dr. Pepper Museum opened to the public in 1991 in Waco, Texas. Wait a second, 91? Wasn't Koresh right around that time?
Yeah. Kind of.
He was working the second shift.
No. What was the cult that he ran? Oh my gosh.
The Branch Davidians.
Branch Davidians.
The whole compound committed mass suicide.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah, in light of the fact that we hadn't gotten to Columbine yet, there was still hope in America before that year. Let me just leave it at that. All right, let's wrap these bad boys up. These have been great, Frank. We hope that you and your family are safe and keep sending us questions. It only makes sense. Chosen by British tunnel workers, the first object that passed through the tunnel from the United Kingdom to France was what? It was not a human being?
Not a
guess.
A frog.
A frog is a great guess, and you're getting actually closer.
A dog?
It wasn't a dog. It wasn't a live thing.
A British...
One of the Queen's corgis.
Giant wheel of cheese.
It would have just had to give it a little push.
Maggie Thatcher.
No.
It was squeeze his room.
A living thing or something from a living thing. It was neither of those.
Ambergris.
Oh. We used to get
was it a statue?
A statue is getting a little closer. What if I told you it was a doll?
Oh.
Of Her Majesty really the Queen?
It was?
It was a little wind up of the
robotic
Queen.
Robotic arm. Sort of...
No, it makes a lot of sense that this would be one of the first things that went through the tunnel.
King Charles' ears.
Putting a doll in a tunnel makes sense to you?
Well, it's because it's a doll from the perspective that it's a plaything. It's not really a doll of a human. It's a doll of something else.
A doll of a dog? I keep going back to the Queen's dog.
A bird? Like a corgi? A canary in the tunnel.
A mole?
No.
How about I go down a more literature-based route?
Eric Idle and Michael Palin and a pantomime horse.
That's a great answer.
Monty Python.
Paddington Bear.
Oh, it was Paddington
Bear. It was?
Yes.
Paddington.
I thought it was going to be something mean-spirited,
please
like a frog.
Take care of these bears, or this bear. Yeah, that was cute, right? I mean,
that's actually nice.
Oh, man. Good sentiment. Okay.
That was sappy.
We have a couple minutes left, and it's time to go to our new version of the Burroughs Family Imponderables.
We need, some reverberation when you ask that, Matt.
All right, professors. How does this sound?
It's the Ask the Professor.
Imponderables. I believe that there's a pretty obvious answer to this one. This is just me. Which professor in the room we have to discuss... Which professor in the room could sink a 30-foot putt?
Okay.
Danielle.
Yep, Danielle.
The last shot of my high school career was a chip from 50 yards away, and it made it into the hole, and that was my last shot.
That was easy.
50 yards?
50 yards away.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait a minute, that's a Bates field goal.
So what she's saying is she's rusty at putting.
A little rusty. I guess chip it in.
It would have to be either you or Stephen, and Stephen's not here, so it's you.
Yeah, because there's no 50-foot putts in putt-putt golf.
We can do an episode at Top Golf, just saying.
Oh, wow. That would be a lot of fun.
Well, Matt, did Cranbrook have the art golf out there?
They had the art golf 2 years ago, but did they have it last year?
I don't know.
Who mentioned
it? It's a ton of fun.
I know, because I thought about having it on CCS's campus, but have a scramble. But we're going to have things like out the elevator,
right,
onto the roof.
That'd be fun.
Onto the freeway. But maybe not that
maybe
far.
Maybe not that one.
Dave's referring to a nice little art installation that's meant each to hole. Be played as mini golf and is essentially open to the public. Mm-hmm. You can go and play whenever you
but
want.
But each hole is uniquely different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's pretty cool. How about this one? I don't even know what direction this is going to go in. Which
we'll blame
professor
Danielle.
Is most likely to testify in front of Congress?
Not Danielle.
I don't know.
Well, it depends.
Ooh, listen to that.
Did someone blow up a chemistry lab and you have to testify in front of Congress?
Okay, that's true. I'm going to be honest. Over break, I should have watched other things that were a little more frivolous and fun. I did finish Squid Game, you know, season two.
Yes.
But I watched the Chernobyl series. I kind of got addicted. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that's very good.
In terms of testifying in front of the Central Committee, that was pretty rough.
I don't know. Aaron, you?
And what, like some weird pop culture reference problem? I don't know. Well, the culture is making our kids crazy.
They could bring Dave in for like analysis of AI or something.
Yes, yes.
I have.
I don't think it has to be bad. Yeah.
I've been interviewed
positive.
Three times about
it
AI.
Be positive.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Rogers.
Like any one of academicians who are testifying in front of Congress about this.
Absolutely.
Hey, come on. If Elmo could do it, so could we. I mean, come on.
So yeah. I teach ethics, so I know I'm never going to end up there.
How about a positive on a negative?
If they don't like Jeff's book, they might pull him in front.
Yes. Where did you get this information?
Yeah, the plot ends up being accidentally similar to something that really happened, and I had no idea.
No.
The book burning, right?
They show up at my door.
This is too close to reality, but, you know, there are rumors that the DOGE, or whatever we're going to call it, is talking about just
Doge.
Hacking the budget for PBS day one.
Yep.
So, and NPR.
Right. We need Mr. Rogers to come back. He saved PBS back in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, but what's going to save NPR?
Oh,
car talk?
Yeah, I don't know. You mean Michigan Public?
That too.
Yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, all of our minds, even though Dan is a very positive thinker, immediately went to, well, if we're testifying in front of Congress, something went really wrong.
Right.
Who's cheating on baseball? Like, you know.
Someone was making something in the organic chemistry lab.
On the date of April 12th, were you or were you not? Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I just will
check my lesson planner.
All the testifying before Congress that I've seen lately mostly involves the lawmakers yelling at each other at the top of their lungs.
And making a speech so that the person has no idea what they're being asked by the time it's, you know, time comes to answer.
What was the question again?
Yeah. It's true.
It's kind of like an academic conference. When
or asking such an ill-informed question that you don't know where to begin at all.
Was there a question even?
Yeah. Is that a statement?
I just wanted to spend 20 minutes telling you what I think.
This isn't a question. It's more of a comment.
Exactly. Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Academics are very used to that, but I don't think the general public is. Try to spin it on a positive note for us to finish up, because I'm afraid the time has come to say goodbye. Jeff.
Bye.
Dan.
Bye.
Jim.
Bye.
Dave.
See ya.
Aaron.
Goodbye.
And Danielle.
Adios.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.